It's officially grilling season at the Home Depot. So don't miss Memorial Day savings on grills happening now, so you can celebrate with a backyard barbecue for the whole block. Step up your grill game and serve up a feast with the Next Grill 4-Burner Gas Grill, with durability to last summer after summer. On special buy, only $199. Get ready for a whole summer of entertaining at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey everyone, Roto-World's Josh Norris here with the start of Week 7 edition of the Roto-World Football Podcast. As always, on this Tuesday edition, which we record on Monday evenings, Raymond Summerlin is joining me to discuss his waiver wired column, which is already up on the site. You should check it out. Obviously, that's a pivotal part of the fantasy week. And Ray, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Living the dream, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. We have no ad read this week, which I'm sure all the listeners enjoy, but I do have, you know, a bit of a message for everyone. Obviously, we always ask for you to subscribe and to share and to rate and review. It really helps us out. I've been looking at the podcast analytics, Ray, and I'm a bit troubled by one of them, I must say.
Which one is that, Josh?
The 18 to 24-year-old demographic, Ray, is one of our lowest. And I don't know if that's a message towards me. In fact, Ray, I'll give you an example of how out of touch am I with the 18 to 24-year-olds. We were having a discussion in the newsroom of NBC Sports, where I work, and I was trying to describe snapbacks, and I called them flat bills. And I actually thought that that's what they were called. So maybe, Ray, I know that you connect with that 18 to 24-year-old group much more than I do. So you and really everyone out there, if there is, you know, one person in mind that you think fits in that area, or I don't know, if you're around college students, if you're a teacher, I don't know, you know, pump out our podcast a little bit. It helps us out. We try to get new listeners, and I'm glad we've got so many old people, but maybe some young people getting in the fold would help out, Ray. Any pointers for anyone out there?
Absolutely. I think the teacher, I think that that example,
you have experience with that, Ray.
Yeah, you have a bully pulpit. You're sitting up there. They have to listen to what you have to say. And let's be honest, you know, not all 50 minutes of whatever class that you're teaching need to be dedicated to that subject. Our schools are doing fine. So make sure that you spend some time talking about the Roto World Football Podcast. It's definitely in your standards in whatever state you teach in. Make sure you get the kids listening to the podcast.
And Ray, I was taking it as a message towards me, but I realize maybe just 18 to 24-year-olds hate teachers. And maybe maybe since you also are a part of two of the three each week, maybe this is a message towards you. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll see if
first
this helps
all,
out. Yeah, go ahead.
Every one of my former students love me. Let me just say that first of all.
I'm sure.
It's true. And second of all, everybody knows that I'm hip, because that's what the kids say. They say hip.
Got it. Yeah, I'm sure you go to music festivals and all that kind of stuff. All right, Ray, we have some big topics hit from the weekend, and obviously we always mesh it with the waiver pickups for the week. The first is obviously the big injury to Ben Roethlisberger. Well, I guess we don't know how big of an injury it is. Something's wrong with his meniscus, and he had surgery on it. It's about the most we know. Ray, obviously that was a game that the Steelers were supposed to win. They did not. And how does this not only affect Ben? I have a lot of questions for you. Ben, maybe some quarterbacks, people who own Ben can pick up, and also how it impacts maybe Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown moving forward.
Well, I think the news is pretty good on Ben. I think that it was the kind of cleanup procedure that people thought it was going to be when they had some optimism he would be back after the bye. So they play the Patriots this week, and then they have a bye, and then they come back week 9. So there's some optimism he's going to be able to play week 9. We've seen Ben kind of play through some injuries. I would expect he plays then. But that still means, like you said, that still means we have one game at least of Landry Jones starting, which is about the worst case scenario. He started and finished one game. He started two games last year, but he got knocked out pretty early of one of those games. He had 209 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions in that one game. I mean, I remember in the preseason watching him play and thinking, if Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt, they are in trouble. He's not very good. But then you go and look at the numbers, and Antonio Brown in that one game that Landry Jones started, he was fine. He had 124 of Landry Jones' 209 yards. Le'Veon Bell was really good in that game, 121 yards on the ground, 16 yards through the air. So I think that those two guys, I think they're going to be fine. But the issue is the other people. Sammy Coates is already hurt. We don't know, don't know how effective he's going to be able to be. He didn't catch any of his four targets against the Dolphins. And now you add in Landry Jones. I think that that's a situation I'm trying to avoid. Eli Rogers is not high upside at any point, especially not with Landry Jones. And Jesse James has to score touchdowns, and it's fair to question how many touchdowns this offense is going to score without Ben Roethlisberger in the lineup. So if you look at all three of those guys, kind of those ancillary guys in this offense, I'm not touching any of them, I don't think, as long as Ben Roethlisberger is not on the sideline. Do you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, sorry, I had to mute my microphone during that time because you're talking about Landry Jones, and I was just going to be cracking up on this end. I do agree. I'll be very interested to see how much more they're going to use Le'Veon Bell moving forward. I mean, this certainly doesn't hurt him. Maybe from like a theoretical how he's going to face defensive fronts, it might. But, this should only mean more touches for him, right? Which is great from a fantasy perspective. And I guess the news is kind of pointing to maybe Ben coming back from after the bye. So who knows? I mean, maybe it's just 2-3 weeks without Ben. But, man, like the home road splits with Ben certainly popped up again this week. I know he got hurt, but still, it's something you have to pay attention to like you do with the Saints. Let's move on, Bray.
Well, I do want to mention some quarterbacks that you could look to.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is actually not a bad week for streamers. If you look at kind of some of the previous weeks, Brian Hoyer didn't score a touchdown or didn't pass throw for a touchdown, which was disappointing. But he's another solid option against the Packers on Thursday night. Green Bay is likely going to be without their top three corners, Demaryius Randle, Quentin Rollins, and Sam Shields. So that's a pretty good matchup for him. Alex Smith did not do anything against Oakland, but that's because he wasn't forced to do anything against Oakland.
If that pass of Dontari Poe was like a yard forward, it would have been a passing touchdown, right?
Exactly, and it looked a lot better, certainly. And now they get the Saints at home, and that's about as good of a matchup as you can have. So he's an option. Joe Flacco has not been impressive at all this season, but he gets the Jets this week and the Ravens' second game in a row at MetLife Stadium, which is funny that that's happened to them. But there you go. The Jets are bad enough to make anyone usable against them. And that said, we record this on Monday afternoon, so they will probably shut down the Cardinals on Monday night and make me look stupid. But I think that Flacco will be a good option. There will be some Colin Kaepernick buzz, but let me say that he had 66 yards on the ground. He's probably going to have a lot of rushing. I believe that Gabbert was averaging something like 35 a game. But the Bucs have given up the fewest rushing yards to quarterbacks this year. That is a zone-based defense. Those defenses tend to stop running quarterbacks. If you're trying to target a running quarterback, you want to target him against man defenses, primarily man. So I don't think that that's a great spot for Kaepernick. And the secondary's played better in the last couple weeks. So I'm not on the Kaepernick train, but those are some options for you.
How about the running back who kind of burst onto the scene, Ray, on Sunday that many were hoping was going to burst onto the scene at the start of the season, Jay Ajayi. I can't remember if you're a big fan or if you're not a fan or what, but this is obviously a running back who last year the interim head coach wanted to prop up as the team's best back, and then you go in the offseason and you're like, oh, he's going to be the starter, and then they sign Arian Foster, and there's who gets very limited work. The Dolphins don't rush the ball ever, and then now he goes for 200-plus yards. So Jay Ajayi, Ray, what do you think about him moving forward?
Well, I'm definitely in the Jay Ajayi fan club. I think he's a pretty good running back. But I mean, with running backs, I think it's important to note there are lots of pretty good running backs. And so a lot of times it's about opportunity. He got it against the Steelers, and he went 204 yards and two touchdowns, although one of those was a long run late. Still, it was 104 yards or 140 yards before that run, so it was still a good game. I think that he's probably going to faceplant after this because that seems to be what happens with Miami running backs. But there's not much else on the wire this week, especially as it pertains to running backs. So it's, you know, you might as well take the chance. Arian Foster is going to get healthy at some point, I would imagine, and they're going to want to get him involved because he's Arian Foster. Ajayi played 37 more snaps than him this week. I'd imagine that's going to narrow. But, I mean, I don't think you can overstate the fact that nothing in this offense had worked for 5 weeks, and then something finally worked. And I can't see them just going completely away from that. It's a tough matchup against the Bills. They've only given up 3.3 yards per carry to running backs the last 3 weeks. But this is a situation where they finally found something that works. I imagine they have to stick with that at least for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, I think I even read, Ray, that Adam Gase in his press conference this morning said that he believes that Jay Ajayi can carry the load. And when you watch them, obviously Arian Foster is more of a passing down back than a real running back now. So they want someone to get the carries. Ajayi makes total sense. Okay, what about a receiver from Sunday that is still, what, just like 28, 29 years old despite being in the league for 8 years? Kenny Britt seems to pop up at least once a year, Ray. What do you think about Kenny Britt moving forward?
I like him. I mean, he's been a fixture on the deep cut section all season. I probably mentioned him in the first time we talked about deep cuts. He's always in there. He has at least 75 yards in 4 of his last 5 games. He's averaging 16.4 yards per catch, which is kind of what Kenny Britt does. And if you kind of look at this passing game, they're funneling targets to Tavon Austin. That shockingly is not working very well. And they need somebody to kind of be that guy, be that big play threat. And that was Britt. He ran through multiple tacklers on both of his touchdowns. He had a spectacular 47-yard grab that he made essentially between his ankles, which was impressive. And he's looked pretty good all year long. He's on pace for 1,312 yards. I doubt that he touches that number. But if someone's on pace for that kind of numbers, even in a bad passing game, I think you have to take notice. I think Kenny Britt probably should be owned in every league until we kind of see where this is going. And especially as we get into the big buys, they are going to be on bye in week 8, which is the first kind of the 16 buys. But the next one, I think he's certainly going to be useful, and I'm going to be picking him up wherever I can.
Ray, I probably go down as one of the biggest advocates for Kendall Wright of all time. And I knew that you watched the Titans each weekend. What were your thoughts on Kendall Wright's kind of star performance after he's kind of slowly working back from injury that's hurt him for the entire season?
Well, I think it's been kind of clear the past couple weeks that Kendall Wright's their best receiver, or at least their receiver that gives them the most opportunity to actually have big plays.
Right.
Now, Rishard Matthews has made a few for sure, but it's concerning that he only played 22 snaps in this game. He only ran 14 routes. He just happened to be targeted on 9 of them. He played fewer snaps than Tajay Sharp, Andre Johnson, and the aforementioned Rishard Matthews. You know, I think that if you look at Wright and what he's done, you would have to say, okay, they're going to give him more snaps. But first of all, this is Mike Mularkey.
It's the Titans.
Secondly, this has been a come against the Dolphins and Browns, especially the Browns, the big game. And this passing game has yet to show anything against a good defense. So I'm really not that excited about Wright, even though he does get the Colts this week, and we'll kind of see what happens. I think that this is a situation, and I talk about this every week, Wright's one of those players that is probably going to be overvalued on the wire. That doesn't mean I don't want him. If I can get him, I'll be fine with it. But I think that he's a player that people are going to spend too many fab dollars on, and I'm not going to go that high on him because the role at this point is really not there yet.
Yeah, and we just talk every single week about how this offense isn't one to target, and even a lot of people drafted Tajay Sharp early. Not early, but mid-late rounds, and I've seen a lot of people drop him as of late. I mean, what, this past weekend he had, what, 10 rushing yards or 1 rushing yard, and that's like it the entire game?
Yeah, he had 3 targets and 0 catches, yeah, I think.
That's not good. Anyone that, and before we get to deep cuts, Ray, anyone that stands out as droppable this week, speaking of Tajay Sharp?
Yeah, and I mean, you said that he's been dropped in a lot of leagues. I think he's down to like under 40% ownership. So he's way down there. I'd like to see what happens with Michael Floyd tonight before calling him droppable, but he is right on that edge. Philip Dorsett is hurt, Moncrief's coming back, and he just hasn't been very good. Mm-hmm. He can be dropped. I'm 0 for 2 the last 2 weeks on quarterbacks, and so I hesitate to say this, but I don't think that you should have more than one quarterback on your roster in a 10-team standard league. In most circumstances, I don't think you should. Carson Wentz is not going to be in your lineup this week against the Vikings.
Right.
That means if you need a roster spot, you can drop him. Now, he's going to have some good matchups. I think he's going to do fine later on. But if you should not have more than one quarterback on your roster in a standard league, in my opinion, and that makes Wentz droppable this week.
What about any deep cuts? Let's hit your favorite part of the week.
My favorite part of the week, the deep cuts. I have some that I like. The first one I would like to mention is one we talked about, I think it was last week, and that's Chester Rogers from the Colts. I mentioned Dorsett's hurt. He left with an injury last night. Chester Rogers had 4 targets. He turned it into 63 yards. Moncrief is still a couple weeks away. We could be looking at a situation where Rogers is going to get 5-6 targets. That's interesting in deeper leagues.
And let me give a shout out to my boy Eric Galco, who I've known since I've been doing this, obviously a lot of draft stuff. Eric Galco runs Optimum Scouting, and he does the scouting for actually the Dream Bowl. And Chester Rogers is a undrafted rookie, obviously, I think from Grambling, from the Dream Bowl, which is, you know, one of their lower tier all-star games. But it's amazing that he can already get someone like that or that kind of all-star event, which I think was in one of its first seasons in the NFL and producing as a rookie. So just want to give props to Eric Galco out there. Sorry, Ray.
Yeah, absolutely. And he could be looking at a pretty big role.
Yeah,
he's good. He's not ever going to be spectacular. He's kind of he looks very kind of very thin,
a guy?
Right? Yeah. Well, I didn't want to go there. But he just looks very thin. I don't know, but he's going to have a role. So there you go.
There you go.
Speaking of roles, in Green Bay, Davante Adams has a concussion.
Yeah.
He's going to be out. Ty Montgomery, all the ink was about how Randall Cobb was going to be used in the backfield. He didn't get used back there very often. Ty Montgomery did. He saw 3 carries. He also saw quite a few of his targets from the backfield as well. He led the Packers with 10 catches for 98 yards. Adams probably not going to be back for Thursday night. That means Montgomery's going to have a role in deeper PPR leagues. He's certainly worth a look.
So as a role as a receiver or as a running back? Because at times it seemed like they're third or fourth receiver, whoever it was Jeff Janis.
Yeah, I think both. I mean, they went 5 wide a lot. In fact, they ran a formation that had Montgomery in the backfield and then 3 wide receivers and a tight end, which Richard Rodgers, get him off the field. But they had that kind of situation. Then Montgomery's in the backfield, and I believe he would motion out and things like that. And I think that McCarthy said he liked that formation. So I think you kind of see him playing more of a hybrid role as they try to figure out what they're going to do in the backfield with James Starks out for at least a month, Eddie Lacy's banged up. I think that you're looking at Montgomery. He's going to be used as both as we move forward. And you mentioned Janis. Janis did play 31 snaps. Both of his catches came after Adams left, so he's going to have a role as well. I'm not that interested in that. We've kind of been down that road before. But I do think that Ty Montgomery, especially in PPR leagues, I think that he's going to be valuable this week against the Bears.
So you mentioned that formation. It couldn't have been successful because you said Mike McCarthy liked it. Anyways, that's a good place to end on. Ray,
taking shots.
Ray, I will talk to you on Thursday for the Riddle World Fantasy Football Kickoff presented by Kia at 3 and 7 Eastern on NBCSports.com.
That's the Roto-World Fantasy Football Kickoff presented by Kia at 3 and 7 Eastern on NBCSports.com.
And you can read Ray's waiver wire piece, which is up right now on Roto-World. And obviously, Ray hosts the Thursday podcast with Nick Menzio and Rich Rebar. And I host the Friday one with Evan Silva and Roto Pat, where we pick on Pat's rankings. And as always, rate and review, subscribe, and if there are any special 18 to 24 year olds out there, you know, push out this podcast a little bit. It helps us out. Ray, talk to you next time, buddy.
Have a good one.
With Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Memorial Day savings for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow mulch. 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.